We all know your time is valuable. Whether you're hyper-focused on admin tasks like notes and billing, or simply trying to make a cup of coffee, or even run to the bathroom in between appointments, constant interruptions can derail your day. This podcast is sponsored by The Receptionist for iPad, a digital check-in system that eliminates the need to walk back and forth from your office to the waiting room to see if your next appointment has arrived. Clients can securely check in for their appointments, and you'll be immediately notified by text, email, or your preferred channel. Break free from interruptions and make the most of your time. I've been using them for almost 3 years now, and it saves me hours in my week. Start a 14-day free trial of The Receptionist for iPad by going to thereceptionist.com/private practice. Make sure to start your trial with that link, and you'll also get your first month free if you decide to sign up. Hey everyone, welcome back to All Things Private Practice. I am joined today by Alicia Murray, therapist turned business consultant and the founder of The Therapist HQ. Since 2016, has been on her therapy journey, launching private practice in 2020 and growing it into a thriving group practice with five therapists and one admin. She's passionate about helping fellow therapists create and grow their own practices because she remembers feeling completely alone when building hers. At The Therapist HQ, she provides accessible resources that focus on both financial success and the quality of life, believing in freedom, flexibility, and making a livable wage while doing the clinical work that you truly enjoy. And thanks for coming on and making the time today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
I just want to say, like, you know, you ask me a question that gets asked a lot on this podcast, and it's, can I swear on this podcast? And I think, like, obviously, for those of you listening, you know the answer is emphatically yes. And I think, like, it's so fascinating in therapist culture where we want to preach authenticity, but then some places we really struggle to be authentic, or authenticity is not welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like we want you to be authentic, but not like that, or like not too much, where then it feels, you know, like disingenuous to the therapist.
Yeah.
I don't know, vibe or image, if you will. Mm-hmm.
As if like there's only one way to be a therapist.
Right.
I remember when I first started All Things Private Practice back in like late 2020, it's getting like a lot of momentum and it was catching on really quickly. And I remember getting emails where it was like, your content has helped me build my practice. And we're talking about free content here, not courses, not coaching programs, but you curse a lot and it really turns me off and it makes you sound lazy and unprofessional. And I was just like struggling with that in those moments where I'd be like, oh, should I change who I am to like meet the needs of this one person? And ridiculous to me. So,
oh my.
Here we are.
What a piece of feedback.
Whatever. Yeah. Thank you. I guess you're so welcome that it's helped
and I'm
you
sorry.
With the business, and I'm sorry. And the unfollow, unsubscribe button is right there.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff. But okay. So anyway, diverging too much because I'm sleep deprived. So my brain is scattered. You have The Therapist HQ, and yes, you mentioned like starting out 20, which was a time where like, obviously.
What a time.
Feels like. Feels like months ago, feels like 100 years ago. I don't even know what day it is today. And it was such a good time to start a practice, right? Because like people were not being treated well in their places of work during a massive pandemic. And people were like, fuck this, I'm done with this. So what leads you to your decision like on that journey?
Yeah. So it was a really interesting like culmination of events and occurrences at that time. So I had actually spent all of 2019 like researching and like, you know, doing the life trainings and the courses and things like that to really build my practice. The type A personality is just like flowing out of me right now and saying that.
Are we type A or are we from New York? I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of the
true,
two.
True. One leads to the other. And so actually in December of 2019, I was ready to go, but I was like, Christmas holidays, like this probably isn't great. So January of 2020 is when I launched, and I would be remiss not to mention that all through 2019 was all of the people around me saying virtual therapy is never going to work. Nobody is ever going to want virtual therapy. It's not like the efficacy isn't there compared to in-person therapy. And at the time I was working at the VA, which actually was kind of like the forerunner for like the research of the efficacy of online therapy because of, you know, the vets in the rural settings, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And so I, thank goodness, stood firmly in that. And I was like, no, I want to work virtually. And like, I know that I can still provide really quality therapy in this way. So fast forward to, I started in January, March, shit's on fire. Yep. And April, I had people coming to me being like, so how do you do this online therapy thing? And like, right. Of course I told them, but in, sure. I had moments of like, where were you a year ago? You know, like this was, I was like wading through the mud to like get to this point of, not that I needed to be accepted in what I was doing because I did feel so strongly about it, but it's hard to receive that kind of feedback, if you will.
Yeah, you need that like almost validation moment, right? Of like syndication. Because I started my, and so one thing you said, like you were at the VA, so a lot of therapists listening, you might think of the VA as like the pinnacle of mental health, right? Like, oh my God, I got this federal job and these federal benefits, and we don't even need to talk about what's happening to federal jobs right now, fast forward to 2025. But I know a lot of people who had to really struggle with that decision of, do I leave this security and safety behind, right? And I was in community mental health for a couple of years in crisis environments constantly. And I remember feeling very similarly, and we didn't even have benefits. Like our benefits were awful, and it was still such a hard decision. And I joke about it on here sometimes that I did write my resignation letter like 7 to 10 different times, and I would just like delete it, not send it.
Oh my gosh.
Talk myself out of it. You know, you're always looking for like that last straw moment in a way. And yeah.
What was yours?
Oh my God. So I worked in 2 startups in community mental health, both as a program, like clinical program manager and operations manager. So I had a lot to do with getting these programs off the ground. And 70 hour weeks, being on call all the time, all the things that we always talk about. But like the last straw for me was our company, which is a community mental health agency here in Western North Carolina, used to notoriously like take pride in the fact that they didn't do raises. And they would like gleefully like stand firm with their whole chest, like, yeah, we just don't do that here. And it never made any sense to me. So we get this like company email one day that's like, hey, we have some extra money and we're finally going to do raises based on performance. And this is going to be based on your like 90-day evaluations and whatever. So I see my staff all celebrating in the break room. They just like several of them just got like $1,000 raises and bonuses. And I don't see anything in my bank account. And I email HR and I'm like, what's up? And they said, well, your department didn't get raises because it's new and because like, we don't have the funding. And I'm like, well, no, that's not true. All of my staff is like celebrating that right now. Well, you switched from another startup. So we didn't have a 90-day evaluation for you to base your merit off of. So we have to give you like an average ranking, which doesn't qualify for a raise. And I was like, wait, what? You promoted me twice in like to these positions. Like, I don't understand. So the whole like make it make sense thing, which it clearly never does. So I walked in and like I wrote a 90-day notice. I was like, yeah, my team, my job, my coworkers, they all need me here. They replace me. Mm-hmm. So like dead man walking majorly. And then I cut that notice short to like 40 days or 30 days or something after I trained my replacement. And I remember going to lunch with my program manager at the time, and she was a friend, and she was like, you're not going to make it on your own because no one does, and you'll be back here in 30 days. And I use that to fuel a fire every day since then. And it was just like, wow, like this is why we struggle so much in this profession, where we struggle so much with our own projection, jealousy, resentment, insecurity, scarcity, etc. And coupled with like having very little business experience or knowledge or information, because I don't know about you, but our grad school never talked about private practice. And if they did, it was like
never
a pipe dream. And you only do that once you burn yourself out so badly that you have finally made it in this profession. And it was just like, what the fuck?
Exactly. Like, don't love this sort of like train that we're on in this moment.
Not at all. Not at all. So, you know, like,
wow,
that self-doubt in those moments is real. So you leave the VA, it's a global pandemic, and you're kind of like, I'm going virtual. And then people are lining up, knocking at the door, like, hey, how did you do this thing?
Yeah. Because, and I think that even people that were successful in person, now all of a sudden, I mean, virtual and in-person therapy, while it is so similar, like there are different systems
for sure.
You have to have in place. And like, again, with a type A personality, like you got to color your ass in, you know, various different ways, because now we're, you know, kind of leaning on technology, which fails at times.
Absolutely.
And so there is like different systems to get set up with, and people that were always in person, even like paper charting still, they're like, what are we doing? How are we doing this?
Yep.
And like I said, of course I helped, but there was moments of like, ooh, doesn't feel great, but you know, we persevere.
Yeah. I remember like when I started All Things Private Practice back in the day, it was because I was helping people in Western Carolina start their practices for like lunch and for coffee. And people would always say,
That's so funny.
And I would say, who the hell is going to hire me to do this thing? And also, like, you know, Allison Perrier, who's a friend and colleague, is here and she runs Abundance Practice Building. And I'm like, why would anyone hire me if they could hire her? So self-doubt is like sprinkled throughout all of these journeys and stories. And I always look back on it and just laugh because audiences are so different, right? Like, no offense to Allison, but I'm not going to ever be the person on TikTok or Instagram dancing. Like, that's not going to be me. I'm going to curse a lot. People are going to tell me how bad I, you know, what I talk about. So like, we attract and repel based on how we show up and what we put out there too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny you say that because absolutely the same. And I always think about Allison and her wig skits. And I'm like, first of all, petition to bring back the wig skits. And second of all, yeah, that will never be me. Like, I don't have that in me to show up, you know, that way to get my messaging across. But like, the world needs, like, you know, all of our different approaches.
Absolutely. And I think when you're in it, right, whether you're starting your practice initially or you're starting a coaching business or a consulting business or you're just pursuing that goal, you mentioned in your bio, like, or in your form, like how lonely it felt, how often it felt like disconnecting from the community. And I can totally relate. And I think a lot of people can. And if we only just talked about it more publicly, like to normalize the fear and the failure and the self-doubt, because it's a total normal, typical part of the entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah. And, you know, it's such a double-edged sword because I really try in my content to not like glamorize private practice. Because while I do think it's glamorous in a lot of ways, like I have definitely fucked up. Like, you know, it's been over 5 years now. Like there's been instances where like I've definitely made mistakes.
Like what immediately jumps out?
I was very behind on my progress notes. Like six months behind.
I'm sure a lot of you listening are like, yeah, me too.
Yeah. So it was just like a really, I was pregnant with my second and I had undiagnosed cholestasis, which is essentially like liver failure from pregnancy. And I was just like nauseous, throwing up like every single, I was barely making it to sessions. I was canceling them all the time. So like my, you know, I had no spoons at the end of the day, like, and one day led to another day, led to another day. And then I had the baby and I looked back at my notes and I was like, oh, that's something.
I mean, I would give you a pass on that because anyone who's dealing with significant like health and mental health stuff simultaneously, it's a lot to, because I think people listening could be like, it's so easy though. Like you just type the note in at the end of the session or you go to concurrent documentation. And I just know so many people whose executive functioning just really struggles to get this like stuff done, and it builds and it's tedious. And like, who the fuck likes doing progress notes anyway? Like, I understand the point of that, but like, who the hell likes doing this stuff? And I think a lot of people find themselves in similar situations and experience a lot of shame about it too.
Yeah. And I have so much compassion for people that have like ongoing, you know, like executive functioning or, you know, like chronic conditions, because it was like once that 50 minutes hit, like I felt like I was like crawling like away from my desk. Like just it's really like it's something. But whenever I share about that on my platforms, because like, again, like I'm trying to like normalize it and like reduce people's shame, like I get tore up in the comments and in the messages, a very small percentage, like maybe 3-5% of like the comments and the messages, but you know, like we're human and those like tend to stick a little harder. But you know, and then I have those moments of like, well, I'm secure and like fine with like, I recovered, the notes are done, like we're good. But people reading these comments, like maybe they're in the thick of this and like that stinks for them to have to read being like, how are you a therapist? You're going to be audited. You're going to lose all your income. You don't deserve to have an income.
And
like,
I imagine you're making most X amount of money. Therapists who are saying these things, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, it's wild. It's so wild to me. I have had my Facebook group, All Things Private Practice, shut down since March of last year, so 2024. And I will never reopen it. And my marketing person is like, you have 15,000 people in there. It's a very active community. You need to reopen it. I'm like, I'm not doing it, because moderating therapy comments and from therapists is like the fucking Wild West. Like the things people say, I'm just like, it baffles my mind, where I am just like, how did we get here as a profession? It's so scary to me sometimes.
I give you a lot of credit. I had been in your group for a long time. Like I want to say since like community mental health days.
Oh, really?
Damn. And
I'm surprised you never crossed paths until now.
I don't talk in those groups because I'm petrified. Like, you know, like, especially starting out, like I loved like reading and watching and all of the things. But yeah, no, you couldn't catch me dead talking in those groups during that time. But the moderation is just,
it's exhausting.
Like, yeah.
And if you try to set boundaries, right? Like I'm like, okay, I want to put my phone in a different room starting at like 6 p.m. and like, I want to cut off from being responsive because I have a problem with being overly responsive. And I would wake up with like almost like dread, because I would not want to open the app and see any potential like moderation alerts that I needed to respond to, because we're fighting with each other on the West Coast or whatever is happening overnight. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. This has been 4 years of my life. And every time I've gone to like resume it, I just find myself like postponing it as far as it can go, as far as Facebook will allow me to do it. So I'm like, this is probably a sign that this has come to an end for me. And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Alma. When I first decided to go in network with insurance, I found the whole process overwhelming. I can actually remember a couple of days that made me want to cry, where I spent hours on the phone being transferred or hung up on, or not giving clear answers or instructions. I knew I needed to get paid, and I also knew that I didn't know if I could do this by myself. If you're running into those same challenges, Alma can help. They made it easy to get credentialed a lot faster, handled all of the paperwork, and offered way better rates than I could have gotten on my own. They also make sure I get reimbursed within 2 weeks of every session so that I know when I'm getting paid. Visit helloalma.com/ATPP to learn more. That's helloalma.com/ATPP. Hey everyone, it's Patrick with All Things Private Practice, and I just want to invite you to join us in Scotland for our second Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway Summit. That's happening July 14th to the 17th of 2025. We have 12 amazing speakers, 12 MBC CEs available in Edinburgh, Scotland, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. The link is in my show notes and on my website at allthingspractice.com. You can also join us in Greece in September if you're a leader or wanting to start a group practice. We have a leadership retreat happening on the island of Crete from September 6th to the 11th. Honestly, one of the most beautiful villages I've ever been to in Hania. And then in 2026, we have limited spots available in two different New Zealand retreats. One is for neurodivergent entrepreneurs, March 1st to the 8th of 2026. And then beyond private practice, moving beyond one-on-one therapy, creating alternative streams of income. That's March 15th to the 22nd, 2026 in Queenstown, New Zealand. Check the links. Got yourself, do it anyway.
Yeah, which is like, they can be such like a great resource if used appropriately, but like mm-hmm. it's so rare that like the community, because it's not the moderators, it's the community, it's the people in it, are able to use it appropriately.
Yeah. And I think for all of you listening who maybe you have a group that's ongoing, have wanted to start one, like at first when you do set the tone and the culture feels good and you feel really engaged, it feels great. Like I loved it at mm-hmm. first. I felt like, damn, this is so cool. Like we're doing things so differently. Everyone feels like in sync. And as the group gets bigger and bigger and bigger, it becomes so much harder to moderate and create and contain and maintain the culture. And then mm-hmm. it becomes like burdensome and it burns you out. And in reality, like what I should have done, and for those of you listening, I recommend taking more routine like pauses and breaks instead of like keeping it open at all times. And towards the end, I started pausing it during retreats when I was traveling internationally because mm-hmm. like, I just don't want to be thinking about this while I'm gone. And then ultimately, like not having it open for the last year and a half has felt really relieving and really free.
Well, I love that for you.
I mean, it's lost me a lot of money, but like, I think the reality too is you have to anchor into whatever your values are in terms of your business journey. And that's important, right? Like when you started out and you left the VA, I imagine like your business trajectory, and I can't say for sure, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but did you ever think like you leave the VA and grad school, you start a private practice, which leads to a group practice. You have an Instagram account that has 40 plus thousand people that are like, do you ever think that's a thing?
Yeah, no, that was never the plan. Like private practice was on, like I had like, you know, the classic like note section of like mm-hmm. vision board, and private practice was like always on there. But like the VA, like you said, how it's like the pinnacle of like being a mental health worker, like that was always, it felt more like attainable and it felt more sustainable, which is like such a joke because it was really neither of those things. Right. And so I think the disdain with, and like the disappointment really, because I remember even my best friend when I was like, I hate this job. Sure. She's like, oh fuck, like you've been at this to get this job, and like, oh boy. And so that really pushed me into the private practice and, you know, being able to create it. I think that's why I also was so painstaking about creating it, because I knew I wanted a family and I wanted it to align with like my schedule and my life and like the changing seasons of life. Like being in agency work and community mental health, it's like, this is your role and these are your hours and this is your pay and like that's it. And it's like, I don't think that's gonna work for me forever. Like things change so consistently through life, and like I want this thing that's gonna change along with me. And then, you know, that's where the group practice was born, and that's where the consulting was born and the social media was born. And it's been, you know, a lot of work, but it's work that I really enjoy. So I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, that's really well said. And I can totally relate. I think that following that passion and figuring out where the values are driving you and like that changes, and giving yourself permission to pivot, adapt, change, and potentially even mm-hmm. say like, this no longer serves me in this stage or season of life. And that's the beauty of being a small business owner. I think that's like worth all of the struggle and heartache and like stress, is the ability mm-hmm. to have creative freedom and autonomy and control. And for me, mm-hmm. I always say that like the worst day as a small business owner is a million times better than the best day in my agency job.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And that really goes to show just how, you know, bad those days got. It was dark.
You know, it was dark for sure. And I had so much self-doubt at the time when I left. I kept telling myself like, okay, if this doesn't work in private practice, like I can always go back. Just like my manager said, like I can always go back. And one of my friends was like, no, you never go back. Like you have to set that precedent for yourself that you will literally do anything else. Like go back to Barton mm-hmm. and go drive for Uber, go do anything else. Because if you allow that to be that like door that's kind of left cracked open, you're never going to fully invest yourself or submerse yourself in the stages of practice building, which at first it does take an enormous amount of energy, like networking and
content creation and just getting a rhythm down and figuring out your own policies and procedures and like dealing with the self-doubt that creeps up every time a client cancels on you or no-shows you and then like everything that comes with it. So it does take a couple of years to really get like comfortable with the uncomfortable and getting comfortable looking at your calendar and seeing all this blank space when you're like, I'm supposed to fill this.
Yeah. Yeah. Very intimidating. That's so funny. Cause I felt so similarly about like, okay, I'm not going to burn any bridges, like leaving, like deep down, I want to like, you know, set shit on fire, but like, I'm not gonna like, you know, we got to like maintain these relationships just in case, like just in case this doesn't work out. And just in case I need to come back. And, you know, then I think it was like maybe 2 years in, I was like, oh, I'll never have to go back. Like, however I need to like make this work and, you know, continue making the income that I need, like, I'm never gonna go back. And like, I can only hope that like people stick it out long enough to get to that point where it's like, oh no, you don't have to go back. Like, you don't have to go back to the toxicity and the politics and the workloads and the caseloads and the lack of pay and working multiple jobs on top of this really toxic job. You don't have to go back to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people need to hear that over and over and over again, especially for those of you who are just starting out or starting to think about making that decision and taking that leap. I think it's an important message to hear. Because I want to give you time to talk about your platform that you've created and the why and what it does, do you want to talk about therapy or Therapist HQ?
Sure. So very similarly to you, it was born out of sitting down for coffee and going through the checklist in my phone that I've had about starting a practice and multiple really, really good friends and colleagues being like, please let me pay you. And I'm like, no, the coffee's great. Like, this is like a great
time. Yeah. So sorry to all of you who I've charged since then. Thanks for, thanks for that.
Exactly. And yeah, being like, you need to be like, doing this, like, and one of like the best like, I don't think she meant it to be such a high compliment, but she was like, the way you explain it just makes it sound so easy, because I was so intimidated by this business aspect. Like, we're therapists, we're not business owners. Like, literally, what the fuck is like a DBA? Like, you know,
EIN, DBA, MPI, all the acronyms are so confusing, and they're so easy. Like, it's so confusing and it's so easy. It's weird.
Exactly. And I remember the first year I was like, I just don't want to commit a crime. Like, I don't want to go to jail. Like,
sure.
So yes, that was such a high compliment. And so I kind of took that part of it. And I really, when I was creating my my initial guide, so Therapist Guide to Building Your Business, which is like my step-by-step guide to start up, the copy in it, I didn't want to hire anyone for it because I wanted it to be like my voice. And I wanted it to be like you were just sitting down having a conversation with me. And I'm very fortunate. The feedback that I've gotten is like, it feels like I'm just chit-chatting with you as you're explaining what felt like very intimidating and intricate business steps and processes and things like that. And I also really focus on like the goals and values of it. There's like a whole values section in the beginning of the workbook to really get clear about our values. I think even as therapists, like we can kind of like lose the plot sometimes as to what is important to us and like, where do we want to spend our time? And I want to make sure people know that going into it, because I remember in my group, one of my therapists wanted to do sessions at 6 a.m. because that worked for her. And I was like, hell yeah, like we'll fill those spots. Yep. And so I use that example of like, if it's important to you to like go to your 7 a.m. workout class, like, okay, like we're going to fill your schedule outside of that. It's, if it's important to you to take a 4-hour lunch break, like, cool. Like we'll make your schedule around that. So the values part is also really important for me to work with people on and make sure that we're cruising in that category.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did that workbook and then I made it into an 8-week course with weekly consultation groups with me. Now we have a paid community where we do trainings and resource libraries and consultations and a discussion board, which is a very lovely place to be because everybody has buy-in literally. And so it's a very encouraging, lovely, lovely community. Yeah, so that's where we are today. I don't know how I got here sometimes, but we're here.
I think about that constantly, and congrats on that, because it sounds like an amazing journey. And I imagine, because you seem, we have similar personalities, I assume, like, maybe this is not the end point. Like, and sometimes the end point feels like the end point in the moment, right? And then the kind of interests change and the goalposts move a bit. Because, like, I remember being like, private practice is the end goal. That's all I know. Mm-hmm. Then it was like, private practice is boring to me now. And I got really good at it. So now I need to do something else with my energy. And then it was like, I think coaching is the end point. And then it was like starting a group practice and then starting a podcast and then hosting retreats. And then like, who the hell knows where it goes from here? And that's what I've really liked, is like allowing myself to say those things more often, of like, who knows what happens next in the next season of life and where like my interests will be. And I think that's why you were mentioning values, is like, anchoring into your why is so important every time you reevaluate and reassess, like, is this bringing me joy? Is it lighting me up? What is taking energy from me? Where do I want to spend my energy going forward? And I think as business owners, especially as private practice owners, we don't do that enough, where we're just kind of like in our business instead of zooming out and working on our business. We're working in it way too often and allowing the business to kind of dictate and control. And I really like having those planning sessions where I'm just like, okay, let's take a like look at everything that you're doing. Are these still things that serve you? Are these still things that feel aligned? And some of those have fallen off. Like, I used to do a lot of individual coaching. I realized how much I hated it. That's gone. I used to do like 4 and 6 month programs about taking the leap and starting practice and getting really authentic with content creation. That's gone. I'm working on like a beyond private practice to help diversify income streams more so for like all of the things that I've done over the last 5 years. But in reality, I'm like, I don't know when that will end. You know, it's just one of those things where I've just given myself permission to consistently evolve, pivot, and adapt. And I think that freedom to do so has been really, really, really incredible and also really remarkably beautiful in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I will like forever die on the hill that like we are better therapists when like our cup runneth over, if you will. Because like the work that we do is hard, and showing up for our clients every day like is hard. Yeah. Even if we're really good at it, even if we have the best self-care in the whole entire world. I think that having that contentment and that neutrality at the very least about our business and the way that we're scheduling and how our days are flowing is so necessary to like continue in this line of work. Like, I'm all about like sustainability and longevity because this is our career. Like, you know, got to pay the bills, got to keep the lights on. Sure. And so like, how do we get to that place where this is sustainable and we have that longevity without like selling our soul for it?
Absolutely. Well said. Well, I really appreciate you coming on here and making the time. I think I'm coming to your community in a couple of weeks to talk about retreats. So that's exciting.
Yes, you are.
So tell the audience where they can find you, and you know, if they want to sign up for any of the things that you're doing. And we'll also link this in the show notes for everyone listening so that have easy access to everything that Alicia is offering right now.
Sure. So you can find The Therapist HQ across Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Spotify, and then everything is linked in those bios for the courses, the community, some free resources, things like that.
Sweet. Well, thank you for that. And again, we'll have that linked. And thank you so much for coming on and making the time.
Thanks for having me.
And everyone listening to the All Things Private Practice podcast, new episodes are out on Saturdays on all major platforms and YouTube. You can like, download, subscribe, and share. Still have some space in our Beyond Private Practice New Zealand retreat for March of 2026. If you want to sign up, my links are in my website, allthingspractice.com. Doubt yourself, do it anyway. And we'll see you next week.